Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Eye on Alcoa.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Two of the world's biggest mining companies are vying to take over the aluminum giant Alcoa, according to the Times of London. The paper claims that BHP Billiton and Rio Tinto Zinc, known in the UK as RTZ, are separately preparing to bid for Alcoa. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
BHP and RTZ, both Anglo-Australian companies, are both putting together $40 billion bids for Alcoa, according to the Times. They both have large aluminum operations already, and says the newspaper, with the metal fetching record prices, they both want to expand production. Alcoa is vulnerable. The company has struggled in recent years, and its share price has languished. But all that will change with two wealthy mining companies on its tail, says analyst Tony Craze.
Alcoa's share price is going to rise very smartly on the back of this news because if it does get into an auction, these are two very powerful companies, RTZ and BHP Billiton, both got a lot of cash. So it's an interesting time for Alcoa.
The company has refused to comment, and neither BHP nor RTZ will confirm the takeover story. If a $40 billion deal does emerge, it will be by far the largest in the recent round of mining takeovers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A top exec at Johnson & Johnson has stepped down. Michael Dormer was the worldwide chief of medical devices and diagnostics. He gave up his post after it was disclosed that some of the company's overseas units may have made improper payment related to the sale of medical devices. The payments in two unnamed small market countries may have been in violation of the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Dormer has taken ultimate responsibility. Analysts say Johnson & Johnson was quick to deal with the situation because companies convicted of a felony can be barred from selling to government health programs. That could represent millions of dollars in lost sales. The market continued to slump yesterday, triggered by concerns corporate earnings will begin to slow down. The Dow gave up 28 points. It's 12,552. The Nasdaq moved back 9 points to 2450. The S&P slipped 4 points to 1433. But in Tokyo today, the Nikkei roared ahead 117 points, or 0.6%. U.S. car makers rely on Canada for many of the parts they need. However, getting them over the border may soon become a problem. 2,800 contractors at Canadian National Railway are off the job in a strike that could cause shutdowns on this side of the border. Steve McNally reports from Toronto.
The U.S. car industry gets $26 billion worth of car parts from Canada every year, much of it transported by rail just in time for assembly. They don't have any inventory to fall back on, says Jerry Fichun of the Auto Parts Manufacturers Association.
The inventory is on the truck or on the rail car. That's where it all is. So if something slows down or something doesn't happen, then you have immediate stoppages.
Managers are running the trains themselves during the strike, but how long can they do it? Barry Prentice, professor of supply chain management at the University of Manitoba, says they may have to hand off to their rivals.
We have to also remember the other railway is still functioning quite normally, and so there may be some ability to shift some of that load over to the other railway too.
Either way, Prentice says shipments to the U.S. will likely get priority over domestic traffic. In Toronto, I'm Steve McNally for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
The recent cold snap caused more than $1 billion in damages to the California citrus industry. It also boosted prices for the Florida citrus crop. Overall, supplies are still running shorter and prices are climbing higher. But what if you never had access to those fresh fruits in the first place? Commentator Angela Glover Blackwell says in plenty of low-income neighborhoods, fresh fruit simply isn't an option. But she says even higher prices wouldn't keep people away.
There's a damaging business myth, based primarily on pernicious and subconscious stereotypes, that poor people and people of color won't spend their money on good, healthy food. There's also a lot of preaching about how inner-city residents must take responsibility for their own health. But you can't eat healthy when there are no healthy options to choose from. Smart businesses know that if given the chance, healthy food stores in inner-city communities can thrive. Inner-city households are a consumer force, spending about $85 billion a year on goods and services, almost a quarter of that on groceries. Unfortunately, much of that money is spent a long bus ride from home at faraway supermarkets. But when companies invest in inner cities, they are often rewarded. A recent study found that due in part to high neighborhood density, grocery store chains typically get more bang for their buck in inner city locales. In Boston, for instance, inner city stores sold 40% more goods per square foot than in suburban locations. On the other coast, look at the folks in one of San Diego's grittiest districts, the Diamond neighborhoods. For years, no one would put a full-service supermarket in the heart of this low-income community. But then, a nonprofit, the Jacobs Family Foundation, surveyed hundreds of community residents and found that they wanted and needed a grocery store. Then the foundation was able to pull together the capital and lure a Food for Less grocery store and other investors into the community. The result? The market has become one of the chain's top-performing locations. Just up the road in West Fresno, hundreds of low-income residents fought for 4 years to get the city to help Food Max build a full-service supermarket in their community. 6 years since it opened, the store is still booming. Cold weather may have temporarily damaged crops, but not appetites. As a Food for Less spokesman said simply, people gotta eat.
Community activist and advocate Angela Glover-Blackwell heads up Policy Link. If you'd like to find out more about her organization, visit our website. It's at marketplace.org. Finally, from the Is This the Best You Could Do with Your Stolen Money file, 43-year-old Angela Buckborough-Platt pleaded guilty yesterday to embezzling almost $7 million. She pocketed the money over a period of 6 years while working as an accountant for a company in Massachusetts. What did she do with the money? Well, among other things, she paid for a private performance by Burt Bacharach and a life-size statue of Al Capone. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.